Outside, the horses listened, too. While they listened, Loki saw the little mare of his dreams straining to see what was happening. When she saw Loki, she turned away shyly.
"Go on, tell us, Loki," said Sisko, Omonako's horse, in a neighing voice. "Neigh!"
"You want me to tell you the story?" prodded Jalisco as he pawed the snow-covered earth impatiently.
"Okay, okay," replied Loki. "Well, the way I see it is, it was my love for that pretty little mare over there that made my heart warm and sing for joy as I lay shivering in the snow, unable to trudge another hoof forward."
He looked at the little mare again. Would he have the courage to tell her someday how he felt? But she already knew, and returned his look with a delightful whinny. Just then, Lolly came out of the teepee with some hot tortillas for Loki and his horsey friends. The snow had stopped, and one could see a blue sky opening up just beyond the pine tree forest. As it did, the sun shot a bright ray of warmth on the little village. The storm was over, but the snow clung still to the leaves and branches. Now Lolly thought nice thoughts, happy thoughts, grateful thoughts, and the sun kissed her face, and she thought, maybe she really would be able to keep her promise. Lolly was going back into the teepee when Uncle and Vasquez came out.
"Well, you behave yourself now, Miss Lolly," said Mr. Vasquez as he untied Jalisco.
"Oh, I've learned my lesson this time," she replied assuringly.
"Well, you better," interjected Omonako, "or someone will be getting a good spanking. You understand me better now?" he said, bringing his face down to hers. "It was not good to worry Gongi like this."
Omonako had never talked to her like that before. She was shocked and even scared.
"Yes, Uncle," she said humbly and started back into the teepee when she noticed her uncle was leading Loki away.
"Uncle,"
she called to him in disbelief,
"what are you doing? Where are you taking Loki?"
The old man smiled at his old friend, Mr. Vasquez, and they both nodded. Then, looking sternly at Lolly, the uncle said,
"This is just an added precaution." "No more horsey for you for a while, young lady," he added emphatically.
"What? But, oh," moaned Lolly.
"Good night, Uncle," she replied forlornly, and went back into the teepee brokenhearted. The two men talked and joked as they led their horses away. Loki flipped his tail flirtatiously when they passed the little mare. She did the same. The little mare watched until she saw them all cross the stream where Omonako had his teepee. She gave a whinny when she lost sight of him, and he whinnied back, assuring her they would meet again. When Lolly came back in, Gongi had just put more wood on the fire and was pulling the great grizzly bearskin closer to the hearth. Lolly laid down on it. The fire was warm. Dumbi rolled over onto her back so Lolly could rub her tummy. Grandma threw the big buffalo skin blanket over Lolly. While Gongi was pulling off her buckskin dress and putting on her cotton night tunic, Lolly got up and began looking through Gongi's woven reed baskets. When she found what she'd been looking for, she jumped back onto her grizzly bearskin bed and got under the buffalo blanket again.
"What have you there?" Gongi asked, curious to see what Lolly was hiding.
"Oh, just something," she replied mischievously mysterious. "Well, let me see it," insisted Gongi.
Not yet, answered Lolly seriously. Just wait, I want to tell you a story. When you settle down. Gongi laughed. She knew Lolly was playing with her. You always want me to tell you a story, I thought, said the old woman. But now you're going to tell me a story? That's right, chuckled Lolly. Hurry up now and get in bed, Grandma, so I can tell you my story. Okay, okay, I'm ready, said Gongi. And she got under the buffalo blanket next to Lolly and started tickling her until Lolly showed Gongi the little beaded purse she'd taken from her grandmother's basket. Hey, scolded Gongi, what are you doing with my little beaded purse? This is the purse your grandfather gave me when we were young and courting. Gongi was saying this, holding the bag up while Lolly was wreathing in laughter and giggles. I thought you were going to tell me a story, insisted Gongi. No, said Lolly, holding out defiantly. So Gongi started tickling her again. Okay, okay, stop, stop. I'll tell you a story, Grandma. But Gongi wouldn't stop tickling her. So Lolly begged, please, please stop, Grandma. They were both laughing as hard as they could, with tears flowing from their eyes. Okay, said Gongi and stopped tickling Lolly. Then they both settled down under the covers. Dumbi jumped up on the thick, hairy buffalo blanket so she, too, could listen to the story that Lolly was going to tell. When all was still, Lolly began. I was very cold the first night out and alone because Loki had run away when I was swimming at the waterfall, she began. I thought I was going to die, Grandma. It was so cold. I'd been singing the little song you taught me about the bear and the moon, but then I think I went to sleep. Someone called my name, and that's when I woke up to see an old man coming up the trail. He had your little beaded purse in his hand, and he gave it to me. It turned out to be a dream, though, Lolly went on, because when I woke up at sunrise, it was gone. I thought for sure he gave it to me. I dreamed of it all night. From the moment the old man gave me the purse, I felt warm. Gongi was listening intently to the story. Then what happened? She asked. The fire sent a burst of sparks up in anticipation. And Lolly continued. Well, from the very moment the old man gave me the purse, I felt warm and I wasn't afraid anymore. It was so strange. What did the old man say to you? Asked Gongi hopefully. He never said a word, Grandma, Lolly explained. He just gave me the purse. Looked me in the eye and nodded his head. He was smiling at me. I felt like I knew him, but I don't remember why. After that, he just kept going somewhere. I think he disappeared. In the morning, Loki came back, and we trudged through the snow all day until night, when we were so exhausted we couldn't go any further and had to sleep in the snow together. Tears filled the old woman's eyes. She knew Chinhonao, her beloved husband, had heard her prayer and saved their little granddaughter's life. Don't cry, Grandma, consoled Lolly. What's wrong? She pleaded. Wrong? Responded Gongi. Nothing is wrong, dear. I'm crying for joy. You see, she went on, when you were freezing to death, I could feel it. I called to your grandfather. It was he that gave you the little purse in your dream. She looked at it. It's so old now, but the love we shared long ago is still very much alive. It is his love for us that keeps us warm and alive, dear one, she said tearfully. Lolly kissed the tears that fell from her grandmother's face. They hugged tightly as the fire cast deep shadows inside the teepee. Dumbi's ears perked up as she peered into the shadows.
Was someone standing watching? Oh, it's only the old man again, thought Tumbi. She was glad he was there too, for she got scared easily. Then Gangi spoke softly. Her voice was sweet like music. Chinhonao was very good to me and our children. Your mother Leula was his favorite. It was he that brought down the great grizzly bear that we sleep on every night. And this buffalo, too, he brought home. He was a great hunter, and he's still providing for us and protecting us. That is what love does, dear. It never stops or goes away, even after one returns to the spirit world. Love keeps all things growing together on the beautiful path of life, sighed Gangi. As the shadows deepened while the fire burned way down. But Lolly didn't hear what Gangi said, because she was already fast asleep and dreaming of childish things. Gangi put the last log of the night on the fire and closed her eyes happily. The storm had passed now, and the ancestors were satisfied that Lolly was remorseful for her behavior. They had moved on now, and the sky was crisp and clear. The moon shone splendidly on the new fallen snow. Outside the teepee, in the dark of night, velvet paws sprinted heavily across the crunchy snow on the way back to their lair. Little bunnies were warm and snug in mother's den. Mother bears slept soundly, waiting for their cubs to be born. And all in the happy village slept comfortably in the arms of the starry night. The end. Continued in Storybook 2, Part 1.